Now in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, Marthe Asadu Kisiki, Matthew 22, and we'll be reading from verse 34. And down to and including verse 40. Asapor Thirki Louis to Louis C. Matthew 22:34-40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he'd put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." It's interesting how God can simplify things, isn't it? He can cover the whole lot in two commandments. We've got tens of thousands of them in this country. Nobody knows what most of them are, but they're all there for some reason. God simplifies it. Just love me and love others. That's the simplicity of what he said there. But just a question, then we'll pray. What's the number one priority of your life, or the number one priority of my life? What's the most important desire or goal that you or I have? Okay, we want to think about that as we go through the message this morning, but let's pray first of all. Now, Father, we thank you again for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, how when we read this passage, Lord, life's very simple. Love God, love others. Then how to work all that out. Lord, we understand that other things need to be spoken of, but Lord, just the simplicity of life in that sense. But Lord, the priority, the number one thing is to love you with all our heart and mind, with our souls, Lord. Father, I pray as we look into this, your word today, that, Lord, we would reflect upon what is the number one priority in our lives as individuals. Lord, not worrying about what other people think or do, but ourselves before you. What is the number one priority? What is the, as it were, the goal of our lives? Number one. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. We notice the question here again of the lawyer. When the Pharisees had heard that he'd put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him or testing him. Let's see what he knows, this fellow. And saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And without hesitation, the Lord Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 5. And in Deuteronomy, God had told the nation of Israel that they were to love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind. The Lord Jesus immediately quotes that back for the lawyer. And then he includes in that, of course, the second of those, which is love thy neighbour as thyself. And when you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four are about loving God and the next six are about loving others. God expands it out a little bit so that we can know in a way, in a simple way, how to love God and love others. But this morning I want us just to think about this first and great commandment. All right. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Remember, this is a commandment that God gives. And when he says we're to love with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, I'll just quote what a fellow called MacDonald says. He said, "This means that man's first obligation is to love God with the totality of his being. as has been pointed out, the heart speaks of the emotional nature, the soul of the volitional nature, or as Spurgeon puts it, with our whole life, and then the mind, intellectual nature. Okay, so we're to love God with all our being, in other words. He is to have number one place, and we are to love him with all our being at all times. Now, the question this morning, as we've already started, preempted, do I love God? Is that my number one priority? Do I really love God? And you say, well, that's a bit of a hard question. Well, we'll look at someone else who was asked that question in John chapter 21. If you turn there, John chapter 21. A man we know well in the scriptures called Peter. And Peter had that question put to him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And we look here in John 21. Peter and others have gone fishing. Nothing wrong with that necessarily. And so they've been out and during the night, they haven't caught anything. The Bible tells us that. Then in verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Remember now, there's a couple of weeks gone by since the Lord Jesus rose physically and bodily from the dead. And he would just turn up from time to time and reveal himself to them and give them many opportunities to know that he was not a spirit, he was physically from the dead. Verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And some of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. So we know it's the Lord, but how do we sort of approach him? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. And so the Lord Jesus has a meal prepared for them, and they're all gathered around, and the Bible says they had their food there, verse 15. So when they had dined, okay, first of all we start with a meal and just have some fellowship, and then the serious part comes, as it were. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now that's the question, isn't it? Do you love me more than these? Notice some things about this. It's interesting there in verse 9, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. If you can cast your mind back a couple of weeks, where was Peter standing while the Lord Jesus was on trial? It was by a fire of coals. Just so happens to be that. I wonder whether Peter, as he was there this day on the shore there, and he saw the fire of coals, whether his mind might not just have flashed back to a couple of weeks earlier when he denied the Lord three times. And we don't know for sure, but I would suggest it wasn't coincidence that that's the setting at this point. And notice something else here. The Lord Jesus said then, Simon, son of Jonas. Now, Simon, that was his name before the Lord changed it to Peter. Interesting, isn't it? He's dealing with an issue here. Peter means that little rock. Peter had shown a couple of weeks earlier that he wasn't a little rock at all. He was a little marshmallow, as it were, because he denied the Lord three times. Now, he was the one who said, no, I won't deny you. I will die, though all these forsake thee. I will not deny thee. Trust me. All good. There's the rock. Until the challenge comes. Aren't you one of his? No. Are you one of his? No. Aren't you one of his? No. Curse, swear. I thought you were a rock, Peter. You were the one who said, I will not deny you, though all others deny you. I won't. Oh. The fact that he called him Simon, I think, would have caused him to reflect a little bit. Uh-oh. Yeah. As I look into those coals, it reminds me of just not that long ago. And then the question really begins to hit home. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You said you would stand even though everybody else ran away. Now, do you love me more than all these? Simon, answer the question, please. And it's interesting here, when you look in the Greek language, it says there, when I love thee, lovest thou me. The word there in the Greek is the word agapeo, or agape love. And in the Greek there's various words that we translate love today. They're all correctly translated, but you go back, it gives you different facets of love. And the agape love, or the agape love, is a love that is totally others-centered. That's when the Bible says God so loved the world. His love was totally others-centered. It was not for what he could get out of it. It was not for what anything else, other than that he wanted to save us from our sins. That's the agape love. That's the love that is totally directed at the other person, and for nothing they get back out of it. Simon, do you agape, do you agape me? Do you love me with a love that is totally given over to me and me only? Serious question, isn't it? Serious question. And so we see his response. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And it's interesting, again, Peter answered with a lesser kind of love. It's a love called phileo, or brotherly affection and love. Do you love me with a total other-centered love? Yeah, well, I love you sort of in a brotherly, affectionate love. Why, Lord? Yes, yes, I do. That wasn't the question he was asked, was it? His response was okay, but it wasn't answering the question. And then, now to put more pressure on him, as it were, because remember there was three denials, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, there it is again, he's not the rock just yet, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Okay, you've said you love me with a brotherly love. Now forget about the others for a minute. What about you, Simon? Do you love me? Not just with a friendship love, not just with brotherly affection and love, but do you agape me? Do you agape me? Do you really love me? Well, Peter answers again, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo you. Yeah, I do. I've already told you I love you in a very affectionate, brotherly way. And the Lord says, well, that's not the question I asked you, really. But we've still got another opportunity to ask you again, so let's ask you again. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And now he says the phileo love. Simon, you said you love me, phileo love. Do you really love me with that phileo love? Do you really? This is the third time he says, lovest thou me? And Simon says unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Lord, you know. Lord, you know. I do love you. With that, Lord, I'm not prepared anymore to be boastful and proud. Lord, I was the one who said, they'll all forsake you. I won't. And Lord, you've raised it to a level. Do I agape you? I can't say anymore. You know that I love you, though. Lord, you know all things, and you know that I do love you, Lord. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And so what's happening here, there's a restoration, isn't there, in a sense. Peter, no doubt, was still carrying the guilt of the fact that he denied the Lord. And he denied him publicly and even cursed and swore in front of other people. So I don't blank, blank know him. And now the Lord is giving him an opportunity to be publicly reconciled. You said this. Now, Peter, what about it? Your stand was, I love you, otherwise I wouldn't die for you. That's really what he was saying, wasn't he? But he denied the Lord. Now, did he not love the Lord? I believe he did. But circumstances overcame him. And fear overcame him. That can happen with all of us. That can happen. But notice what the Bible said. Peter was grieved. It cut him. It was painful for him. That the Lord's asked him the third time. And again, I'm sure that it'd be going through his mind, this is a little bit like, I denied him three times, now I have to, yeah. We don't know, I'm not going to try and say read too much into what Peter was thinking, but I would ask the question, what about you and I? If we'd been Peter on that day and standing there before the Lord and he said, do you love me, what would we have said? What would we have said? Yeah, Lord, I love you, no worries, it's all good, I love you. Is that what we would have said? As I was reflecting upon this, and I have been for some time, I thought, I know what my answer would be. Lord, you know. You know, Lord. All I can say is, Lord, you know. You know. Peter, do you? He said, you know, Lord. You know. You know, because I don't know about you, but it's one of the things that I can struggle with. Do I really love God? I don't walk around with this euphoric feeling of, oh, I just love God. It's so wonderful. And I'm not saying that proves someone loves God anyway. You can have wonderful feelings and still not truly love God. But it's a challenge. Do I love God? Do I really love God? So I've just put a couple of thoughts together. How can we know whether we really love God or not? We can use the words, can't we? And the way that Peter responded, I believe, was wonderful how he didn't. I believe the Lord Jesus, knowing his heart, accepted what he said. Because he now wants you to go and feed my lambs, go and feed my sheep. He knew that Peter did love him. But he wanted Peter to be able to express that and to bring him to a place of humility, which he wasn't in earlier. He says, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. How do I know whether I really love God or not? Well, some questions we could ask ourselves. Do we daily spend time with God alone? Do I get alone with God each day and spend some time with him? You know, when you really love someone, it's nice to get alone with them, isn't it? And just shut out everything else and everybody else and just spend some time with them. Yeah? That's helpful. If you love someone, then you want to spend some time with them alone. Do you and I spend time alone with God in prayer and in the Word of God? Or are we too busy? Or, well, yeah, when I get time. Oh, that really expresses that you really love God with all your heart and soul and mind. When I get time, God, I'll be there. I don't think you love God the way you ought to. How do I know? Well, am I spending time? You know, it's interesting in Psalm 119 and verse 47, David said, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." Oh, I just love the Lord. I don't read his word, though, but I love him. Oh, really? Yeah. How much do you love him, then, if you haven't got time to read his word? And I know I belabor this point very often, but I believe it's so important. If we're going to have a love relationship with God that's going to be real and lasting, we need to get in his word, because his word is primarily how he speaks to us. And yes, there are times when God puts something on your heart, and you and I have been there. There's been times when we didn't hear a voice from him, but we knew God was speaking to us. But they're the exceptions. The rule is, in my normal daily life, I need to be prayerful and in the Word of God and delight myself in it. It's something that I love to do. Why? Because I love the author. Yeah, I like to spend time with the author and talk to him about things. You say, how do I know? Well, another question is, am I walking in obedience to the Word of God? Because the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, then you keep my commandments. Well, I just love the Lord, but, you know, I just sin a little bit. What sort of love is that? Now, yes, as believers, we can and all do sin occasionally. There's no question about it. The Bible's very clear. If we say we have no sin, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. But if we're going to gloss over sin, that means we're not being obedient to the Word of God, and therefore we're not loving God. You can't say you love God and then disobey his word. That doesn't make any sense. The Lord Jesus made it very clear. If you love me, keep my commandments. What's the first one? Love God with all your heart, soul and mind. That's the first one. And so there's some very practical things there that we can gauge. Do I love God? I may not be able to judge or gauge the depth of my love, because love does grow, yeah? As you get to know people more, you kind of love them a little more, yeah? That's normal in relationships. And the same in our relationship with God. It's interesting what Martin Lloyd-Jones said about this. He said, love is never satisfied with itself. It always feels that it's insufficient. You been there, done that? Do I love my wife? Yes. Could I love her more? Do I love my family? Yes, but could I love them more? There's that sense of, yeah, but I could probably love her more. And so we're not saying, well, I just don't think I love God enough. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about, do I love God? Do I spend time with him? Do I spend time in prayer in the Word? Am I obedient to his Word? You say, what's another test? Well, another test is, do I witness for the Lord? Do I look for opportunities? I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. Is that me? Is that because when you really love someone and you know the other person doesn't know them yet and you want to introduce them to him, amen? Here's someone who loves you with an everlasting love. This is someone who they love you in infinite love, and they want you to know them. Surely that, if we love God, that would be our desire, to want to share our Saviour with other people. That's one test, whether we love God and how much we love God. Oh, I'm too scared. No, that's a sin. Don't make excuses. If you love God, then you'll want to talk to other people, and God will give you the grace to do that if you'll be obedient. And so do I witness. Do I have a desire to please God? Because if I love God, I want to please him, won't I? If I really love God, then I want to do what pleases him. I don't want to do anything that's going to offend him. Why would I? I love him. So you see, there's some practical things there that we can consider. But also, you know, how do I... Then, okay, you said that love can grow, correct? Yeah. So how do I increase that? Well, some of those things we've mentioned, obviously. Keep guard that I'm spending time with God. Keep guard that I'm being obedient. Am I witnessing to people? But how can I increase it? One of the things, and that's been the theme this morning, really, in the Lord's Supper, that reflect upon God's love for us. Think about it. The love of God. God so loved me. Me. That God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. Reflect upon it. Think about it. And you know what will happen? 1 John says this in 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. And as we reflect upon God's love for us, it'll draw out a greater love for him. As we reflect upon the forgiveness of sins which we have in Christ, it'll increase and draw out our love for him. So how do you know? You think about Simon, and not this Simon, but the other Simon, the Lord Jesus was at his place having a meal. And think about the woman there. And Simon was pretty disgusted and said, you know, if he'd known what sort of woman this is, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. And the upshot was, at the end of it, the Lord told him a story and said, okay, this certain man owed this and someone else, and it was all given. Which one would love the most? Well, he says, I guess he that is forgiven the most. Yep. Yeah. You see, when we understand what we've been forgiven, our sins, all past, present, future, have been forgiven, that ought to draw out a love for the Lord. And then when we go that step further and think, if I hadn't been saved and I died, I would be in hell for eternity. That's something to be thankful about. That's something to love God for, amen, for what he's done for us. And so if you take time to reflect upon these things, you'll find your love for the Lord will grow. It'll grow. Because you'll be more and more appreciative of what he's done, and the more appreciative you are, the more you'll love him. Yeah? Be thankful for our salvation in the Lord Jesus. That'll help your love grow for the Lord. But this morning, just as we close, we can never love God until we're part of the family of God. And the Bible says, except that we be born again, we won't see the kingdom of God. And so we have to, first of all, get our sins forgiven by getting saved before we can love God for forgiving our sins. That makes sense, amen? And so there is a need to come before God in repentance. That means turning to God and saying, God, I am a sinner, I acknowledge that. But I believe what your word says, that the Lord Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. We've seen it reflected here in the elements this morning. Christ's broken body, his shed blood. Why? To pay the price for our sins. And not only that he was buried and the third day raised physically and bodily from the dead. And Paul could say this to the Romans, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's when that love relationship starts. Because now my sins are forgiven and I've got a freedom and liberty I never knew existed. I'm at peace with God. I know finally who I am and where I'm going to fit in. And all of a sudden, I'm now in the light. And I find that I do love God after all. And I'm so thankful for what he's done. But it starts there. And then what happens? Then we grow in grace and knowledge and in our love for the Lord as time goes by. This morning, I trust that you know that you've come through the first gate, that narrow gate. The Lord says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. You've got to get through there first, trust Christ as your Saviour. And then by the grace of God, love him and increase in that love as we grow in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray.